span with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring, from the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Into the Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room, 205-342-9904. Love to hear from you this morning. What you thought about the weekend, the golf or the football? Obviously, was a fun night for a lot of Alabama people watching the game together. So dial us up and let us know what your thoughts are about that. Game day coming to town with Vanderbilt. So who saw that come at the beginning of the year? Download that app, that Tide 100.9 app. Get that on your smartphone. You can take us with you anywhere you go. You want to email us, you can do that at wimpandberry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood. That would be pressure treated pine from Great Southern. They make the 7 o'clock hour possible. They do it for us each and every day. And always remember, guys, as you go build the 5-star backyard, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. Good morning, Chase. How was the weekend? Everything good?
It was awesome.
Yeah, your Mississippi State played well, played really well, yeah. And ended up losing that football game at the end there. But didn't cover. A lot of people had that 7.5, and that half will get you. Good morning, Dad. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. A lot of things to talk about. First of all, before I get into football, the Cleveland Indians. The Cleveland Indians have won the West, and so they'll be continuing to play. They did that yesterday, so I don't like them particularly since they're the Guardians, but anyway, they did, so I wanted to mention that. 15-13, I thought the Ryder Cup guys came back and played well. Golf's the kind of game that you some days you play good, some days you don't. And they almost came back. I beat 15-13. Had a big injury controversy that we'll talk to with Doug about when he gets on, because it is a big controversy about that. Ty came in or started at Alabama and ran that team, directed that team in a very tough, hostile situation. Did terrific. Gosh, what a player he is and what a great player he's going to be and what a person he seems to be. Absolutely great win for Alabama. He did a terrific job directing them. Sometimes the defense fell down a little bit, but that's part of it when you play somebody like Georgia. So anyway, great win for Alabama. 5 teams now in the top 10. So we've got Ole Miss is 4, and Texas A&M is in there, and Texas and Alabama. And, so it's you know, still a long way to go to determine the 12, but certainly that win is a huge humongous for Alabama to go into number 10 personally. And as I said, Ole Miss is number 4. So it's great. Sam Pittman lost his job over the bad loss that he had against Notre Dame. That particular loss didn't have anything to do with it properly. If he lost the game, he was going to get that out. Bobby Petrino, who's I think one of the best play callers, if not the best play caller, according to experts in the country. Of course, your players who got to win the games is going to be the interim coach, and he was fired there before, and bring him back, and he'll do a good job with him offensively. And so I hate that for Sam. When you wake up the next morning, you're not the head football coach, and you got a family. It's not as much fun as it is people talking about kind of criticizing. So that's about it. But that's really about it. I do want to say that I said on the internet, congratulate Eddie Phillips for his birthday today. He's a great player for us. I don't think people have realized what a job it was for that basketball team to go to Kentucky and win the SEC championship. And when Emo missed that little layup shot, Eddie Phillips put it back in. And I had a hard time coaching him, but he knows it. But I matched him pretty hard. But anyway, congratulations to him on having another birthday. He's got a great wife. That's about it. I'm sure I missed some things, but we'll talk and welcome your calls.
Yeah, seemed like just a different kind of focus for Alabama as they came out of the locker room. They just looked like they were there and they were ready to play, which was, I picked Georgia to win the game. Obviously, I thought they would. I was pleasantly surprised. I was wanting to be wrong, and I was. These players and coaches took on a lot of criticism, and they probably deserved it, to be quite honest with you, after that Florida State game. And really, you got to block out the outside noise. I heard James Franklin talk about that, they really struggled against the top teams, and you got to block out the outside noise and just get back there and then get to work. And it seems like they have. They got a break or two there, but Ty Simpson, I think you thought he would play very, very well. I was worried they couldn't protect him, and I thought they did. That first throw he made that Ryan Williams dropped, you could just tell he was not scared of the moment. He was ready to play. I think they converted, I want to say it was 13. What was it, 13 out of 18 third downs? You do that? 13, I mean, against Georgia? Wow. So give these guys credit. Give the coaching staff credit. They had them ready. They went in there. Humongous, humongous win. Should Georgia kick the field goal or not going fast there? You can Monday morning quarterback that to death. I personally would have kicked it. You've trailed the entire game. You got a chance to tie the game, but those are just things those are decisions you make at the spur of the moment, right, Dad? And if they work, great. If they don't, then you're going to get criticized. And that's kind of where it stands.
I just I got really upset on Ryan Williams dropping that ball. I thought it was, no reason for him to drop it.
Beautiful,
yeah. But no chance of that. The only thing that bothered me about Ryan Williams that continues to bother me is the thing that was said by somebody that he never hung around the football players, never hung around, and ran with the guys, wasn't sort of one of them. And I think that's a terrible thing. As good as you are, as much money as you're making, you need to hang around and be somebody that's one of the gang, so to speak. I think that was a bad statement. I'm sure he's better. All of our people that are listening to the show would disagree with him, but I think he's got to get his head on a little bit better. But anyway, with Vanderbilt coming into town, scoring a lot of points, I know it's Utah State, but they're darn good. And defensively, when they scored the long touchdown and they came back to the sideline, the defensive coordinator said to himself and pointed to himself, "That's on me. That was on me." And the play he called, whatever he did defensively, didn't give him very good protection back. And threw over the top, scored that touchdown. So you can't afford to have any game where you point to yourself and say, "That's on me," against Vanderbilt. Because even though they're Vanderbilt, they score a lot of points.
Yeah, and I don't want people to say, "Well, you're climbing on their bandwagon now." No, I honestly did not think they would win at Georgia. There's just so many things going against them. They're Georgia 33 straight at home. They haven't been to Athens since 2015. But give them credit. They went in there, and that had to be a fun plane ride home for those kids. And they've worked, they've earned it, they've deserved it. I know I saw Ty Simpson's mom had both arms around her son there hugging him after the game, because he's taken a little bit of criticism. But I think people have been pretty high on Ty. Now, the question is, can you take this win, dust yourself off, put it behind you, and get ready for what I think is a very tough stretch of games? You got Vanderbilt at Missouri, Tennessee, and at South Carolina, although South Carolina, but that's a tough run there. So you're going to be physically beat up by the time you go to Columbia. So that'll be the key.
I agree. I think it's coaching is this. After a loss and after a win, after a bad loss, after a good win, coaching comes into play more than ever. Your 10 players that you count on to direct your team behind the scenes, you meet with them. Your staff, you meet with them. And the head coach, and you darn sure that your staff understands that this season's not over. We got a tough time. And you do that. I know that sounds silly to meet with them again, but you meet with them all the time. And you meet with your 10 players as the head coach. And maybe your head coach and your two coordinators meet with them together, those 10 kids. And those 10 kids can do a lot with your team to get your team ready to play for the next game. Win or lose, Barry's exactly right about that.
Yeah, they got to get ready. Now, you know, people all over you, then you kind of rally the troops, and now everybody's, you know, you hear the shows this morning, everybody's glee. They're so patting you on the back, you know, and you can't even take the pats on the back. You got to get back in there and get refocused there, and everybody's going to be making fun of Georgia, making fun of Kirby, and telling you how great you are. And you got to put that game behind you and get ready for what I think is it was weird to me. I looked yesterday at the line for the Vanderbilt game. I don't know if I misread it, but it said 24. Then I looked this morning and it said 10 or 10 and a half. So that sounds a little more reasonable, 10 and a half, not 24, what I originally saw yesterday.
You want me to try to get Reese on, Barry?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll call it.
All right, 2-minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. Where it's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. Give them a call today for the free estimate. These guys will take the stress away from moving. 205-247-5050. That's 2 minute of truck. Movers who care.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. The tropics are becoming more active after a quiet summer. What's expected to become Tropical Storm Imelda later this weekend could be a threat to the Bahamas and U.S., with some paths on spaghetti models taking it across the southeast. But ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Spann warns to not take the models that bring it into Alabama seriously. He says it's way too early to determine the exact path. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A very good Monday morning to you. We're looking at a slowdown on 69, Highway 69 southbound at McPherson Landing Road. That crash is now sitting on both shoulders until you'll have to, well, actually, all the main lanes are open. It's just mostly onlooker slowdowns.
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Join an appointment with Drs. Winfield, Tom, and Vincent by calling 205-759-7878 or learn more online at dchsystem.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 88. For
tonight fair with a low at 65. For tomorrow and Wednesday, the sky partially sunny both days. Highs between 84 and 87 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yellow oil pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. I'll get right to the yellow. And I thought Ryan Grubb did a really good job of creative ways to get guys the ball. I'm not necessarily talking about the Caden Proctor, although I love that call. Throw that ball to him and let him go sideline there. But just some ways to get Jeremy Bernard the ball. The first down, I think, that ended the game. I thought they had some unique plays that were very effective in the game. They moved some linemen around and put them in different positions. It seemed to work a little bit better there. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Phillip.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Hope y'all are good. I was going to say right quick, like, that I agree, Barry. It looked like Alabama used the offbeat to their full advantage. A lot of looks. A lot of little tweaks and wrinkles that were kind of subtle, but really not so subtle if you follow the team. You know, Alabama, early in the game, and early in the first half, they were going to go, I think, to Proctor on a pass, and I think Jam moved a little bit and got a penalty and negated the play. And I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
I don't. I thought this, Ryan Williams may be their third best receiver. Now, this is Isaiah Horton, and this number 17, this freshman, those guys are good. And Bernard, obviously, so they got a deep receiving core there, guys that are producing.
You know, and Ryan made some big catches the other night. He took some shots and held on to the ball. It was unfortunate that he dropped the pass in his hands, and nobody ought to see that. But he did come back with some really big plays.
I agree.
And some where he took some vicious shots. You know, he got one that was sort of an odd little play. He got it dumped off to him right after the line of scrimmage, and he managed to hold on the ball. He only got a few yards, but that was a dangerous play where he held on the ball and didn't fumble. You know, you fumble right there, he got problems.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, Alabama, I felt like they were prepared better than Georgia. I didn't see anything Georgia did that stood out like they really put in a lot of new wrinkles or anything. They just kind of did what Georgia does. They go out there and try to out-brute you and out-physical you. But they got away, I thought, from trying to run the ball early. You know, their first snap, they got 2 yards, and that second eighth, they started throwing the ball around. And, they did not stick with the run at all, even after we stopped them off for 2 yards on the first play of the game. But I will say this, Barry, as big as that win was, and UGA, they win the 4-star and the 5-star battle against anybody in the SEC. They win that pretty much straight up. But they, in some respects, I think Vanderbilt is more dangerous than Georgia. I don't know if you agree with me or not on that, but I think in some respects, they're a little bit more dangerous. Pavia is, he's several cuts above Stockton, and I think they understand the mission statement and the game planning a little bit better than Georgia, which makes them different, especially in light of the fact that Alabama now has, Rusaw is out for the game and several games in a row, and James Smith, the lineman, is out for the first half due to that weird targeting call.
I don't know where they saw targeting on that. I'm confused on that play. Huh?
Apparently it was called from the booth.
The guy get thrown out of the game for that. That was crazy to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, and later on, you know, Georgia had a play where the guy, he leapt onto the pile, and he was airborne and struck Jeremy Bernard in the helmet and was, you know, he did get a penalty, but he did not get a targeting penalty, and he definitely targeted.
Yeah.
But I think Vanderbilt's extremely dangerous, and I hope Alabama's ready. Not that they won't be, and I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative, but these injuries along our defensive front are greatly concerning to me right now.
Well, Dad, your thoughts about Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia. His stats, honestly, are Heisman. He should be on the Heisman list the way he's playing. And he brings a swagger and a confidence, kind of like almost Johnny Manziel does. Dad, your thoughts about Pavia and Vanderbilt coming in 2:30 on Saturday?
Well, I think it's a more difficult game now after the win than it was against Georgia. I think mentally and physically both, if they're injured that bad up front. And I think the mental part you never know about. I don't know about it. All I do is get on the radio and guess. But if for some reason they're not mentally ready to play with a physical part, it's going to be as tough a game for them as the Georgia game was, or even tougher, because after a big win or after a big loss, you have a hard time getting your team more ready to play than you would like to. If you combine that with injuries, I certainly don't want to take anything away from the way Ty Simpson played. I don't think he gets enough credit. They ran a lot. They were set into a lot of different offensive sets. And on occasions, he took time to move the back to where he wanted the back to play, because the back had lined up at the wrong place. For a kid to be able to do that, that kind of pressure on him at Georgia is quite unusual.
Yeah, that's his first SEC start. And, I mean, I watched that Nussmeier pretty close. Ty Simpson looks better than Nussmeier, to be honest with you. Yeah. Ty Simpson might be the best quarterback in the SEC. I know with that Oklahoma kid out, we may get to end the year, and I'm not trying to get a Jalen Milroe, but we may be thinking this kid should have gotten some time last year when we were struggling in some of those games. This kid looks to be pretty good, Phillip.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think Ty could have helped us last year. I don't know what all that was about. That was just, that blew my mind then, and it still does. But he played a serious game, and he was dialed in and in command and in control. And that was a key to Alabama's win the other night, because it got stressful there in the third quarter. And Georgia had a lot of momentum going for themselves. And, you know, of course, their kid dropped that pass right in his hands. It could have been a dagger in Alabama's back. Ty Simpson deserves a lot of praise. And I thought Jam Miller, you know, he was a key in that game the other night. He was going forward, and Riley was right there with him with some really tough runs. I thought the running game, you know, we don't have a Johnny Musso or a Sean Alexander or T.J. Yeldon type back, or Derrick Henry, but that's just not what Alabama is right now. But those guys did a great job, and you can't say enough about, like you mentioned a little while ago, Isaiah Horton with some tough catches across the middle. Quavis, I think Quavis is one of the best players in the nation. He is so reliable. He can look the ball in and bring it to his body and get yards after catch as good as any tight end in America.
The only thing that worries me about Alabama, I'm not criticizing the kid, but Talty, that field goal. So was that just a one-off? He just kicked a bad one, or is he going to be able to make pressure kicks?
I don't think anybody knows,
and I'm pulling for the kid to do it. I'm looking at it from a coach's side. Like, you know, you don't want that to bite you. And that kick, when that kick happened, I thought, oh, dang, this is like, we're not going to win this game. I felt bad for the kid, but oh, that thing was.
Well, you know, he He hit one early in the game, so he did do that. But that one right there was that was not good, and that's something that I'm sure that they need to address. But
the problem is you can address it in practice. You can have them kick all the time in practice, and they'll kick great. But you can't assimilate the pressure of the game when the guy's got to kick it. You know, got to hold it, get it kicked, and especially in front of Georgia. But you know, those Georgia fans are sick today, boy.
It's quiet here at work. I can tell you, it's quiet here.
All right, buddy.
It's quiet real here.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Have a good one. Yeah.
All right, we'll get to break here. We'll get Max out and Thomas Rib Shack. They're going to do a little deal we'll talk about later on this week. But, man, you're looking to source some catering or anything for the weekend to get ready for Alabama and Vanderbilt coming in, then Thomas Rib Shack is your choice. Great ribs, mouth-watering chicken, fish, whatever you need. All the vegetables, you can go in there and just get you a vegetable plate if you want. If you want to go in, everything's hot right there. They'll fix it for you right there. As the weekend comes, you can give them a call to get the catering stuff set up. As I said, we got an announcement coming with those guys later on. You go to thomasribshack.com. All the food, everything's right there on there. You can order online. Give them a call today, 205-759-5010. Thomas Rib Shack. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A very good Monday morning to you. We're looking at a slowdown on 69, Highway 69 southbound at McPherson Landing Road. That crash is now sitting on both shoulders until you'll have to, well, actually, all the main lanes are open. It's just mostly onlooker slowdowns.
Grand opening of Primetime Men's Clinic, October 2nd from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at 4804 Highway 69 in Northport. PrimetimeMen'sClinic.com.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the Locker Room, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want to get right to the Yellowwood hotline. Former assistant, Florida State, Ole Miss, as we tell you, radio personality for years throughout the Southeast, joins us every Monday to break down college football, Max Howell. Good morning, Max.
Hi, Max. Good morning.
Big weekend, I think, Kirby. Pressure might have got to it a little bit. I think everybody thought maybe it was just Coach Saban that was in his head. I think it's Alabama, though. That was a good ball game, but I really think Kirby made some calls on the side. I think still questionable a little bit. I bet it is to him also after he looked at the tape.
Yeah, I think they, that when they were down three down there, he said in the press conference they'd already decided they didn't get it, and if they got anything, they were going to go for it on fourth down. I think people maybe questioned the personnel that they had in there to go for it on fourth down. I mean, it's Monday morning quarterbacking now, Max, but to me, if you've been trailing the entire game and you got a chance to kick that field goal right there and just tie it, I think you put the pressure on Alabama. Now they gotta get points in order to win. Are those things decided during the week? Are they decided during the feel of a game that's going on? When is that decided? What you're doing
that's as long as you if you cover everything that you all your arsenal during the week, those decisions are made based on how the game's flowing.
Yeah,
I mean that could
make sense.
That's why you got 10 people in the press box. That's why you've got the complete staff that he's got. Historically, he's done, I think, a really good job conferring with those guys as the game unfolds. It doesn't matter who they're playing. He's done a good job. I mean, look at his record. I mean, it's fantastic. Of course, he's 1-7 against Alabama, but everybody else was 107.
It's crazy when you see what his record is.
It absolutely is. So I think to answer your question, Barry, those are the old site decisions based on the flow of the game. And I think I really think that's where the pressure I think got to him, that he was so concerned about winning the football game that he thought they could come back and do it again, but didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
Not only did they win, but they covered as well on a 3-point cover. I mean, it was a 2.5-point.
Well, Georgia was favored, so that wasn't good all the way around. So that.
Vanderbilt comes to town offensively is darn good. Alabama is, I'll say this, Alabama's good and bad defensively.
Yeah.
They read defense. I think when you read, you have problems. They've got some injuries. Is Alabama good and bad defensively, or are they better than I think?
No, I think they've improved on the front, defensive front, but I think they got one or two defensive backs that probably needs to be replaced yet. But they got Vanderbilt coming up this week, and of course they're gonna see 30 or 40 passes down the field. So, but personnel, where Alabama will beat Vanderbilt's in the fourth quarter. Vanderbilt's got more than adequate players to get them through the half, but. That's the case always with many other schools, other than the 3 or 4 top elite schools that could pad the roster. So I look for that to be a close game to halftime, and I think Alabama pulls away because of the depth when it comes this weekend.
Vanderbilt has the one thing you can't coach. They got a quarterback. Max that believes he's going to win. A lot of times you come in, we hope we're going to play well. I think Lane Kiffin's changed Ole Miss's mindset over there. They think they're going to win. I don't care if it's LSU or who it is. And I think Diego Pavia is kind of the same way. And that's not something you can teach, not something you can give them. So I do think Vanderbilt will come in thinking they can win, where usually they just hope to play well. There's a difference,
I think where Alabama needs to win that ball game before halftime. I think they need to run it up just as much as they can, because you're right. As long as he stays behind the center and can get, not only throw it, but he's got his feet, his legs as well. I think that's the combination. You can take that attitude out of it, though, if Alabama puts all they got into it the first half.
Yeah.
If they got a 20-point lead at halftime, Then what happens to the opposition guys when that happens on the sideline? They kind of panic and they go back to certain things that maybe they didn't practice well enough or whatever during the week, and that'll surface in the second half. Vanderbilt just doesn't have the depth to stay on the field for 60 minutes, offense and defense, to play with teams like Alabama. And that's why they've been Vanderbilt through the years. They are better. I don't think it's any doubt. But I bet if you go back, and I haven't done this, but I bet if you go back and check their win. Since the new staff has been there, they've had basically the games they've won, they've had control by halftime. But I bet that I don't think that'll happen this coming week. I think Alabama will get as many points as they can by halftime, and that certainly puts a damper on whatever the game plan is the second half.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go way away from this. But I want to ask this question. Mike Gundy has come out and said that he's going to they fired the athletic directors left Oklahoma State. And Mike Gundy has come out and said, regardless of whether they're firing him or not, he's going to coach another year. Isn't that kind of interesting to you to see? I think, and I know we need to talk out about all Georgia. I got all that. But, Auburn. But that's the kind of interesting thing.
What do you mean he's going to coach another year? They fired him.
Yeah, that's the politics. So. Internal politics. So evidently he's got some alumni or big contributor behind him.
That
feels like they make him, makes him feel like they can walk in and tell him, no, you got to,
athletic director's gone.
Yeah, right. Did they got a new athletic director?
It was a good question because Barry jumps in there.
Well, I'm confused though. They fired him, then they fired Grantham, I think today, or yesterday.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I mean, you guys have been around it on that level. You know, it's a lot of it's politics.
He's coming back.
What do you mean he's coming back?
I think he's coming back for another year.
He is. He's fired.
Well, okay. I think he's probably careful them not finding who they want, who they'd like to have because of the money situation. I don't know what his buyout was. But the fact is he knows somebody way up the line.
Yeah, I think he's coming back.
Oh, you think he's going to come back and coach?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's what he wants to do.
Well, yeah, everybody does. I think Sam Pittman wants to go back, but he ain't.
It's too late.
This ain't Sam Pittman's deal. AD's still there with Sam Pittman.
You step back and look at it. How long has he been there? 19 years or something like that? I mean, he's been there a long time, hasn't he?
Got a nice hairdo.
So, there have been some ups and downs during those years. So, he's aligned himself with some of the top guys, and he's probably already met with them. And they said, yeah, the condition is if they don't find somebody, that can keep them up there at that level that they played at through the years, that he'll be able to come back.
But I've never seen a guy. What were the odds of being that Bobby Petrino would be the head coach of Arkansas again after what he did? But the deal in Atlanta.
Motorcycle away, Barry.
Oh, my. I mean, this guy had a volleyball girl in the back of the motorcycle, and he's the head coach again.
Motorcycle away, and he can call play.
There
you
go. It goes right back. It goes back to, old way he got back there. Some of the alumni, the big contributors wanted him back.
Right.
I mean, they were willing to put it back. So, I mean, it's the same concept.
So, if he does well, they're going to hire him, aren't they?
Oh, sure. Well, sure, he's the best play caller in the country.
Yeah, I mean, he is. I agree with that.
But
evidently, there's enough confidence in him. You go back and look at Coach Pittman's record. Certainly, it wasn't a glowing record, but... You go back and really try to analyze where Arkansas is. They sit in a really precarious situation where they located, first of all. They can't go into Texas. I mean, they go into Texas, but they're going to have to take the twos and threes. They're going to get the top line with the Texas players. Arkansas high school football is not anywhere close to what Alabama, Georgia, and Florida and Texas are. So overall, they don't have the numbers. And so he's hamstrung to begin with. So that won't surprise me if they don't find who they really want. And I think they'll put up – maybe they've already cut the deal. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me at Arkansas if they hadn't already because he's back. In fact, I think a lot of people said when they hired him as an offensive coordinator 2 years ago that was the whole game plan to begin with, that he came back and had a decent year last year. But from everything I've heard, and I watched that ball game pretty close, they said the sidelines and all just literally gave up against Notre Dame the other day. I think gave up by the second quarter. And if you notice that, if you watch that thing, the stadium was the first sellout they'd had in a couple of years, and half those people go by halftime.
Hey, Max, Auburn is open, and then after open, guess what? Georgia. Are they going to make it?
I don't know. That schedule Auburn's got. I don't know.
If I said that, beginning of this year.
He's got to survive the early part. It eases up, but good Lord, you lose the fan base by the time you get to the games you win.
Exactly right. The fan base situation will get you every time. It doesn't matter who they are. Florida's going
to be. It won't at Auburn as quick.
Well, that's probably true. That's probably true. I'll jump right to Florida because I talked to some Florida fans last night, and they've already got the money up and all to make the change if Texas comes in and just wipes them out this weekend. I don't know when Texas is capable of doing that, but eventually what happens, guys, if it just keeps going, it gets to the players. They don't give you 110%. They'll find a way to, walk off the field, they'll be hobbling off the field, they'll fall down and all that. So we've seen all that kind of stuff go. But I think because of Auburn and who they are and the way they have supported the program through the years,
The only thing right now, I think that the fans know this. If they don't show up for a ball game or if they leave early, that'll be the death knell for them. That schedule, the way it looks to me, it's going to be tough for him from here on. He's already lost two. And, I know everybody was counting on maybe 7 or 8 wins this year, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's Oklahoma State. We're talking about Max Howell where this happened. That some of the players, I think it's Oklahoma State, but it may not be, but this happened where the coach was fired. So they just all of a sudden decide, well, I'm going to redshirt. I hadn't played my 4 games, so I'm going to redshirt. The players don't decide if they're going to redshirt, all right? And so they said, no, you're not. And they said, well, yes, I am. I'm not playing. And they said, okay. Well, then I'm taking your NIL money, your scholarship money. I agree. Take the money. Now they got a lawyer. They've lawyered up, and they're going to fight them, thinking they should still get their NIL money and get their scholarship money. Like, they get to decide if they redshirt or not, Max. We got to take some of the power away from these players. The players don't decide if they redshirt. That's the coach's decision.
That's agreed. I don't think it's any doubt. And I think it's the programs that are solid across the country, you know, those that not on the verge of making coaching change anyway, I think they've got pretty well control of that side of it. But then when you get down to, you know, the Arkansas or in Gundy's situation, or maybe in Florida situation already, I think the players pretty well can dictate it. I think they know that now. And they get some – they get – whispered in the air by everybody, different alumni, the pulling for different folks, and let's get rid of it, you know, let's make a change or whatever. I think each case, those there stands on its own. And I think what we're seeing is from a fan situation, we're hearing about those circumstances that erupt, but normally it's right after a coach is fired. There's always some disagreements with different people. We know there's going to be some trash talking back and forth with a program like the Florida program is the one I've been keeping an eye on now for 2 years. But the fact is it's in turmoil within this department itself right now. I don't think there's any way that Napier could survive. I mean, you look at that schedule down the way, and I heard last night it could be after this weekend. Now, if they remove him, they'll just move up a coordinator or something like that. What's happening with the portal, when a team is, internally and not winning, is losing the kids. Not only, you're talking about taking the money and let them decide if they're going to play. They're not only concerned about losing what they got, but they're also concerned about what they could get. Off of the portal for the next year, because this year is already ruined for the teams that are trying to change coaches. So somebody, there's got to be some internal leadership in there. And normally when all that happens, you don't ever know where that's coming from. Some alumni has to step up, or some administrator hold up the line, whether it be the athletic director or somebody above assistant president or whatever. There's got to be leadership that steps up and takes control of a program board. You're right. Nothing good can happen from it. When chaos sets in, guys, on a college staff like that, everybody's looking for a job if the head guy gets fired. I was assistant too many years to see that happen in a lot of cases. So I think it's is that in this time of year with the money situation like it is, I mean, I'd hate to be on a staff right now. I'll be honest with you to see if I was going to be able to stay with that staff as assistant, or I need to be looking for a job.
Well, Matt Zenit's just now reporting Bobby Petrino is overhauling Arkansas's defensive staff and parting ways with 3 coaches, including defensive coordinator Travis Williams. So he's probably told those guys, hey, look, if you want me to get the job and you want this thing to go well, we got to get rid of some of these people over there. He's already fired 3 assistants. They're letting Bobby Petrino fire 3 assistant coaches this morning, yeah. Max.
Well, when they do that, and I understand why, because obviously he's been there and all. Where could he go get somebody right now?
Yeah.
I mean, literally his staff, he being elevated to head football coach, I know he's going to want to keep his hands on the offense per se. But where's he going to get somebody to fill in on the press box or on the sideline during the ball game? Or he even handle practice during the week? If he fire him, is he fired because they go pay him and let him stay the rest of the season to get him through the season?
I'm sure they got some analysts that probably got some experience that could take over. So many analysts at these places now. So I don't know. Ole Miss real fast. Lane Kiffin's kind of changed the mindset of it. Boy, that place is going to turn into a juggernaut. I bet you enrollment is going to explode like Alabama had with their football program, the Grove, the parties before the game. And then, man, they're winning. And he's got them believing they're going to win, and he's doing it with the backup quarterback. Just your thoughts about Ole Miss.
I agree. I mean, I know everybody with coaching changes like it is, he's going to be, his name always pops up on the list. And I've heard that certainly he's on the Florida list as well, because I think his wife, I think they still have a house down there. But anyway, bottom line is, you're right. If you watch that ball game, he's got coordinators sitting in the box and they talking back and forth, but he's running the offense. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I thought they did a great job this past weekend, bringing in a quarterback. It was a Division II quarterback. I know he won a championship a couple of times for him, but the guy can play. And so I think it's going to take a ton to move him if he decides to move. And I don't think there's one or two schools in the country that could afford him right now. He's making like right at $10 million in Oxford. So he's got it. He didn't have to basically answer to anybody. He's got free reins over there to run the program like he sees, because they've been successful attacking the stadium. So I think that's a program that everybody in the country right now is looking at. So other than that, I mean, this is a really exciting time, because I'm not affiliated with any school. I love to watch and try to figure out the internal makings and workings of these different programs right now.
What you have to do, Barry's life at this, I just text somebody, is after a win, big win like Alabama had, that's when you fuss. That's when I fuss after a win.
Well, yeah, they got everybody's so happy now, but you better. Alabama's got a tough stretch of games. They got Vanderbilt, then they got to go out to Missouri, then you got Tennessee coming in, then you go to South Carolina. That's a tough four-game stretch right there, yep. Max. So
they got to take them one at a time, and they got a coach. They really do.
They
don't think the other teams have already, picked up on which quarter's a little weaker than the other. They'll follow that roster change, the opponent's will, down the road, and see what kind of personnel changes they make. And because everybody's going to shoot at them. I mean, if you're on top, I've heard Coach Saban say that forever. You're going to get everybody's best shot when you come to town, if particularly when you go on the road. So, to me, though, right now, five out of the top 16 teams are in the top 10 with a new poll this morning. So I'm just saying, it's an exciting time for college football, particularly if you're an SEC fan.
I thought people that have complained about field storming has been overrated. I've changed my mind now. That Virginia deal there, when that kid went down the end zone, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I'm surprised he didn't get trampled on and killed. That was awful, Max.
I know it was. But see, I looked at the numbers on that one. Virginia has beaten Florida State. That was the seventh time in 60 years. So, I mean, it was if ever a fan base was warranted to charge the field, that one was. I watched that ball game pretty closely, and Florida State, I think, let their longtime record get in the way of making preparation during the week. But they didn't play as well as they have played. But the fact is, they got beat, and that's something that's a no-no. I don't care who you're playing. The first thing you got to do is play to win, and I don't think some of those kids did. I mean, if you remember, Norvell brought in 6 new coaches and 70 players off from last year's 2-10 record,
And that's why, you know, that's why Alabama didn't have a tape on anything. That's no excuses for them, but I don't know how you prepare when there's nothing there to look at from last year. So I think that was, and everybody else looked at that as well, but Florida State was, you know, was still undefeated when they played that ball game Friday night. And they didn't play well. Let's put it that way. Virginia certainly took an advantage of that.
Yeah. All right, Max, tell everybody what's for supper before we let you go.
All right, I tell you what we did this weekend. A little bit different. The women took all the offside. We had pork chops on the grill, big thick pork chops. We had potato salad, devil eggs, and with butter beans, cornbread. We did a coconut cake, and we froze the cake on Monday or Tuesday and then defrosted it. It was still chilled. If you've never even chilled coconut cake, a three-layer cake, you ain't live, guys. That's a good cake.
There you go. Thank you, Max. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank y'all. Thank
you. All right. I don't have the heart to tell him.
All right, Barry.
Coconut's not good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
We got Reese on at 8 o'clock on Friday. Just talk
8 o'clock
him.
On Friday. There we go. So we'll have
we'll just have to shove Sonny. Sonny ain't saying anything anymore.
We'll have to move David. We'll move David a little bit. But, David, if you're listening, we've got to move you a little bit.
Yeah, we had lunch with David.
I saw your picture. David, they posted your picture at the Coker Market.
Yeah, we'll get David early. Get David early, and we'll shove Sonny. He's saying something there at 8:30.
All right, there we go. All right, there you go, Chase. You got that? Fake Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
Coming up
on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll recap Alabama, Georgia from your perspective. And The Good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Martin Houston and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. with The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The NFL Sunday night game, Green Bay at Dallas, finished in a tie, 40-40. Each team had one possession in overtime. Each team kicked a field goal. Each starting quarterback finished with three touchdown passes. Jordan Love, three for Green Bay, all to Romeo Doubs. Dak Prescott, three TD passes for Dallas. Kansas City beat Baltimore, which is now 1-3. 37-20 the final, and Ravens star quarterback Lamar Jackson left with a hamstring injury. Patrick Mahomes had four TD passes in the win. Jacksonville won at San Francisco 26-21. Niners with four turnovers. Chicago won 25-24 at Las Vegas. Raiders with four turnovers. And the Rams beat the Colts 27-20 on an 88-yard touchdown pass with under 2 minutes to go. And baseball's regular season ended with the Cleveland Guardians clinching the AL Central title. The Blue Jays won to clinch the AL East. The Mets season is over after a loss. The Reds go to the playoffs.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We're starting to fill in a skosh on 43 southbound onto McFarland. Usual here happenings back to 41st Street. And then we've also got some delays on 69 in Northport. Traveling on that southbound lane at Union Chapel Road. That's your rush to work delays there as well.
Bread.com. Your West Alabama High School football score updates are presented by Bevel State Community College. Congressman Robert Adderholt and Taco Casa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson. A father-son duo with decades of coaching experience. Breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium.
If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports,
you'll hear it here first.
With analysis, opinion,
and straight talk that cuts through the noise.
Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m.
on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC.
This is where champions get their day started.
This is Inside the Locker Room
with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker Room. I want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can get right on the website, look at everything they have on the lot, the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. Need to schedule a service, you can do it right there. Rent a Toyota. You want to start your financing, you want to start the trade-in process, do it at TuscaloosaToyota.com or swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard. Justin will be there. He will absolutely take great care of you when you get by there. Tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline. Get Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Barry, morning, Coach. How are y'all?
We're all right. How are you?
Okay, how are you? I'm good. Barry, I think that we may have witnessed the worst performance of a Ryder Cup team that America has ever put on the golf course.
I don't agree.
Really?
No. I think the comeback yesterday to 15-13 shows me that golf is a daily game where some days you play good, some days you don't. The United States played well, but I have never seen a team play as well and put the ball as well as England did or overseas did. You and I have talked some. I don't know that I agree.
I where Doug and Dad said this. Beth, I think the New York crowd on Friday and Saturday.
But
my point is, I think the Europeans thrive in that. They love it when you cussing at them, and then I think the crowd was kind of relaxed yesterday because they had, and so I think Europe relaxed, and so they weren't as edgy, and they don't play as well. If they're not edgy. But the thing that made me, I couldn't get it off my mind, if Victor Hovland cannot play, then the United States should get a point. Why would they get half a point for a guy that couldn't play? That was a factor going down the stretch, Tom. That made me furious, to be honest with you.
I don't think that's right.
Huh?
I don't think that's right. I think we'll get it cleared up when Doug gets on. But I think
it should be a forfeit. Barry's right about that.
Yeah.
Forfeit's the law.
Yeah, if you can't play, then you lose the point. Move on. But to get a half point and you can't play?
Well, that hadn't been the custom in the Ryder Cup, y'all. They haven't done it that way before.
True.
Yeah.
Right. But it's happened like
we're not going to change it. We ain't not going to change the custom now. Go ahead.
I bet you they'll look at it.
Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
I'll tell you something else, Coach. All that misbehavior that the crowd did in New York, that wouldn't happen in the South. That wouldn't happen in the South. Throwing a drink on one of the players' wives, that's ridiculous. Well,
yeah, but you're right. But the way DeChambeau and even JT and those guys, they incite all that to happen. DeChambeau, I know he came back yesterday and tied the thing, but it's too much. It's too much what he's doing, in my opinion.
They went up there with a manufactured attitude. It wasn't from the heart or anything like that. And so, therefore, you get those shenanigans like that. And then that bunch of that crowd there, it was disappointing to me on a lot of levels, from losing to everything else. But
it just shows that even with the great players, golf is a daily game. And by a daily
it
game,
is,
they made ten birdies in a row and got beat, but and lost just about every one. I mean, tied or lost every one of them. It was. I just thought your Penn just played great. Go ahead.
That sure did. I tell you what, their Friday and Saturday game was unbelievable to me. They made putts from every freaking where, out of the fringe and everything else, long, short, you name it.
Justin Rose is an assassin.
I'm telling you, I don't get it. You know, he always fades in the majors, and gives it up on Sunday. But you're right. These Europeans, when they get in the Ryder Cup and they start flashing the picture of the Queen and all like that, they go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I know they played well yesterday, the Americans did, but I did not like, you know, I'm not saying Victor Hovland was even, I mean, I'm sure he was hurt. I mean, but you get a half point. I mean, we're already down. It's 11.5 to 4.5, and you look up and it's 12-5. They give him a half a point, and the guy can't even play. That makes no sense.
So, I'm with you. Yeah. Anyway, y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Tom. All right, back up to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, little Al?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
All right, Roll Tide. Listen, real quick, I don't have but a minute, but I don't know if y'all said much about this, but Alabama finally, under Taylor DeBoer, won the penalties statistic, had 4 penalties for 16 yards. What I'm most impressed about with that is where they did it. The discipline this team is showing was very impressive. No offsides, the communication in a very loud environment. That's normally a big issue, one of the biggest contributors for road losses for Alabama. It's what I've seen. So very pleased with that. And then this targeting
terrible rule
is just killing me. I mean, be consistent with it. You know, they talk about launching and crown of the head and everything. And this young man who at the end of the game, you know, he got a personal foul, but he should have been targeting. He just nailed Jeremy Bernard in the side of the head with the crown of his head. He launched like a stinking missile. He's just, you know, and nothing but his head comes in there. I mean, good night. How do you not call that after you called some of the trash that you did down in the trenches that, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't agree with it. I know you're trying to protect the players, and I think that was it, maybe the one they called on our lineman. But bottom line is, the one where the most egregious one I saw all day in the game was the one guy launching himself like a missile.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I you're right that as far as the penalties go, they just seemed more – the coaching staff and players, you could just – and I don't know how you weigh this, but they just seemed focused. They were more focused. Even coming out of that locker room, you could just tell that their mind was on what was going on. Sometimes that hadn't been the case. It was nice to see. Fun to watch, Lil Al.
Yeah, it was. But anyway, time to really get focused now.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of well-educated, focused young men coming to Tuscaloosa on Saturday. You better be ready. I mean, I give Vanderbilt all the credit. I mean, what a great time to be a Vandy fan.
Yeah. So, and they got a quarterback.
Welcome them.
They got a quarterback that believes it. And so that's that'll be tough. So should be fun. Should be a fun weekend. Thank you, Lil Al.
No doubt about
it.
Yeah, y'all be good.
All right, we'll get to break here and get to Doug Bell. We'll also look at Doug's picks. We hadn't talked about that blue plate.
Boy, I got beat by a half point, Barry.
No, it ended up being over that because they ended up losing the game at the end.
It was half a point. I lost by half a point, didn't
I? I think it was going to be half a point. And then I know Jason with North River Longhair, he lost by half a point.
I thought I lost by half a point.
We'll look at it. All right, and we got to look at Doug's picks. Also, we'll talk Ryder Cup with Doug. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And just like that, it got extremely busy. We're now dealing with an accident on Culver Road or Highway 11 right at the Joe Malisham intersection. Now, it's got traffic pretty slow. And then we've also got heavy traffic on Lurline Wallace starting to pack up just a little.
You call, you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, home of the original chicken finger and a proud partner of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Visit us in-store or online at GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are post-game thoughts from the head coach of the Crimson Tide, Kalen DeBoer, after Alabama's 24-21 win at Georgia on Saturday.
Great team win for our guys. Credit to Georgia. They're a great team. And just proud of the way our guys came out and fought. You can't overstate like what our guys have just been doing as far as just every day trying to get better. And, that's what it's about. They were focused and knew they're gonna have to play four quarters, and it took every second of it. And so again, finding a way to win first half, a lot of conversions, especially on third down, got off the field, and then turned into a fist fight in the second half. And defense standing in there, getting a big fourth down stop, that was big.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year we honor the most important anniversary ever. An event that reshaped civilization as we know it. A day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen to the show on our full radio network, Varsity Network app, as well as a video replay available on the CTSN YouTube page. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We get right up to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters. Has a podcast I'll talk about also at the end of the segment. Doug Bell. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Cody. I'm doing great, guys. Good Monday to you.
Doug.
Roll Tide.
I think this shows to me that even with pros, each day is a different day. And by that, I mean the way they played on the Friday the United States played great but got down bad but came back on Sunday and played enough to win it but couldn't quite get there. It just shows to me that every day is a different day in golf.
Oh, no doubt. Listen, there's always – armchair quarterbacking on Monday, sure. This is the one team deal, right? And so you look back at what Keegan did. And listen, it all starts with this, guys, and I've been talking to people. The course setup, there was no rough. And I know you guys, we were on last Monday, and I was talking about how difficult the golf course was. I had no idea they had taken the rough down to virtually nothing. And the Americans were better drivers of the golf ball statistically. And you saw it all week, Coach. People were missing fairways and had great lies, and they shortened the golf course too. A lot of these long par fours, they're going at it with 9 iron, et cetera. So the course setup certainly helped the Europeans. They play fantastic, on Friday and Saturday. Yeah. And I'll say this too about Keegan. He had some bad matchups there. When you had Henley playing with Scottie Scheffler on day one, Henley was the shortest player of the 24 guys. And as they played on those holes, that the odd holes that Henley teed off on, Scottie was sometimes 30 to 35 yards behind the Europeans going at the hole with a longer club. So there were a lot of mistakes made. I think Keegan should have played. I think he should have handed off to Webb Simpson or one of the vice captains. He was better than certainly Morikawa and Cantlay and some of these other guys. So I think that hurt the team. But that's armchair quarterback. And, Coach, you're right. You got to give the European guys credit. I did not think they could withstand the pressure of the crowd. And the crowd got to them finally on Sunday, and it certainly affected things. But they had such a big lead it was exciting. There was about a 30 to 45 minute period there where it was like, wow, we're down to three matches. If the Americans win all three, they could pull this thing out in historical fashion, but didn't happen. But I'm glad it did finish the way it did, because it was absolutely boring. There was no drama whatsoever.
Can you do anything about the crowd as far as the added? It's nothing. Is there anything to do about the crowd?
Well, I think what we're at the stage of our, we're 2025, and every sports crowd, no matter what, where or when it happens, is over the top now. And it all has to do with there were more people at this venue than ever before at a Ryder Cup. I mean, they never stopped selling tickets. So you have this massive humanity. They sell as much alcohol as possible. They never close the bar. So you have, you have drunk fans. And it is that part of the country where they were over the top. And they yelled some, F-bombs are just part of sports, right? People aren't as nice as they used to be 30, 40 years ago. We've gotten to a point where it gets really ugly. But in this case, they crossed the line. Some of the things they yelled at Rory about his family, et cetera. And golfers are exposed. Different than maybe a football or basketball player where you're on a court, the crowd is away from you a little bit. I mean, these fans are right up on top of you at golf. So I'm just glad there wasn't any sort of physical incident. The verbal things happened. And again, as we've said many times, golfers aren't built for that sort of rhetoric, right? But, Coach, to answer your question, I don't think we can go back. I just think we're going to move forward and things will get progressively worse in those areas. I hope not, but I don't think there's anything we can – it's a runaway freight train right now.
Yeah, I disagree. As far as the crowd got to them on Sunday, I think the crowd was out of it. They thought they were going to lose. I think the way the crowd acted on Friday and Saturday, I think you and Dad thought that would affect the Europeans. I think they thrive in that, Doug. They love to point back at you after you're harassing them, and I think they played better in that environment. I think the reason they didn't play as well Sundays because they weren't as focused, and the crowd, nobody thought the Americans even had a chance. And then it started kind of steamrolling there where they win the first two matches on 18 on birdie putts there. But I don't think the crowd affected them at all on Sunday. I think it was Friday and Saturday the crowd helped the Europeans. Your thoughts on that?
Well, no, I agree. And you know, it was funny. Friday morning, Keegan came out. It was still dark outside, and the crowd had – they opened the gates at 5 a.m. Eastern time. The first tee shot was 10 after 7. So they got there 2 hours before they were jam-packed, and Keegan was out there, with a microphone, getting them all revved up and that sort of thing. And immediately, as those matches unfolded, the crowd went from, like, this fever pitch. And, Barry, you're right. If you watch Thursday's morning matches, it was quiet by the end of that
they took the crowd out. Yeah.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And as Luke Donald said, and the players in their room, that was the game plan. Let's go out there and jump on them early, and the crowd is just going to taper off and go do something else. And that's exactly what happened. They tried to pick up the pace a little bit on Saturday, the crowd, and that didn't help. And then, obviously, yesterday, when the home team starts doing something, you know how team sports is.
Yeah.
When the home team's making a run, the crowd's like, oh, here we go. And so they ramped it up. Yeah. And I do think they affected them there late Sunday, but it was just too big of a lead. They just needed a half point here and a half point there, and they got it.
I think Lowry carried on too much when he made that putt. Somebody else continuing to play behind him could have made a putt that would have sealed it. He acted like he won the tournament himself.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought yeah. he was corny.
Well, and also, Doug, help us on this.
Am I right or wrong on that?
You're 100% right. 100% right. And I wanted to say, well, crap, you should have lost a point. If Victor Hovland can't play, Doug, they lose the point. You don't give them a half a point when you can't play?
Well, you know, what's interesting, guys, and listen, when the Ryder Cup started.
What's the rule on that?
Well, here's the rule. 7 years ago, it was an exhibition. It was just a nice exhibition between USA and the UK. And then in 1979, Jack Nicklaus reached out to the powers that be and said, listen, this is boring. Can you please open it up to all of Europe so we can make this a little more competitive? I mean, Jack Nicklaus in 1979 did this, and he was at the height of his power. And so the powers that be said, okay. And that's when Spain and Germany and all these countries got involved, and obviously that changed the Ryder Cup. But that same year, guys, they had the envelope rule where if anybody gets injured, and they were still working under the premise it was an exhibition, basically a friendly exhibition, that if anybody gets injured, whoever he was going to play, you open the envelope, and that person would get a half a point, and the injured person would get a half a point. Because, as they said in 1979, that's just the friendly thing to do.
That's crap, Doug. Yeah.
Well, and you know what's interesting? Number one, that is a bad rule that should be changed because the Americans should have gotten the full point.
Yeah.
English was ready to play. But I think Victor Hovland, he was amidst the celebration. I think he felt the lead was so big that it was kind of like, I don't really need to play, and we're going to get a half a point anyway. So I thought that was actually pretty lame from his standpoint.
That's pretty.
Yeah, no, I mean he could have played. He could have played, guys. I mean, it was an 18. Come on, he couldn't have gone out there and played golf, and even done the best he could. I mean, and amidst the celebration, he's jumping around with the guys, pouring champagne on their heads.
You're telling me that does turn my butt off. God darn, he could have played.
I'm telling you, and that Lowry hits that putt to get to 14. Well, it should have been 13 and a half, but then that takes all the pressure off at that point, and people started flooding out of there. They started leaving. That was bad.
I thought Russell Henley, by the way, should, you know, if he'd have hit that putt at 18, that would have changed the whole complexion of the game, and Lowry's putt would have been meaningless. And he was right on line. He just left it a little short, and it really played well that day. Henley, who had played poorly up to that point. You know, so I was glad to see him come on. But, man, I wanted that putt to go in because that would have changed. That would have been a full point. And then we really would have been down to those final matches, right?
Yeah.
So, and at the end, listen, and just one more observation.
Don't leave.
You know, the last McIntyre and Burns, right? McIntyre should have told Burns to pick up that five-footer.
McIntyre's a prick.
Ooh.
Well, and Burns misses the putt, so again, that's another half point that goes to the Europeans, but or a full point. In essence, he should have it was over by then, and so he should have taken his hat off and shaken his hand. But hey, it's gamesmanship, I guess. And the other funny narrative was the Europeans now, in 2 years, it goes to Ireland, where Rory and Shane Lowry obviously will be the stars of the show, assuming Shane will still be on the team. I guess he will be in 2 years. But they were intimating that the crowd will be much nicer. We don't act this way in Ireland, was their narrative at the press conference yesterday. And I was like, okay, let's get off the high horse just a little bit, fellas, okay? but that's the way it goes. Again, as we've always said, these are golfers. They're not built for team competition. They're not built for heckling. It's a little different ball game out there. But at the same time, it's good to see the team competition. I'm glad it's only every 2 years though, guys. Can you imagine this every year? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm just DeChambeau. He's too much for me. If you're gonna do all that, then you win. And he I know he ended up getting half a point yesterday. But the best part was when they interviewed Scottie Scheffler after it, and and he talked about the team and, you know, how good those guys were to him, even though he had lost 4 points, I guess, whatever. He went to tears there talking about what those guys.
He had not won until
the last. Yeah, but I'm saying what those guys meant to him. I'm sure he was in the room and he was probably beating himself up, and those guys were probably like, Scotty, come on. Whatever they said to him really moved him, and he was in tears with that interview after winning that singles match yesterday.
Yeah, no, I agree, Barry, and that was very poignant. And you get a little choked up when you hear a guy say things like that because you realize how important it was to him. He's never won a point in alternate shot. You go back 4 Ryder Cups now. He just has never been with the right guy. And the Henley match in the opener, can you imagine if Scotty had been out with Cameron Young, who sat that morning session on Friday? I think that would have been a heck of a tandem. But, again, that's armchair quarterbacking, didn't happen. Yeah. You can go back and you know, look at everything, and this mistake. But, Scheffler's never won the alternate shot, whereas John Rahm has never lost. He's 5-0 an alternate shot in his Ryder Cup career. So it's just kind of, it's interesting how all that works out. I am glad Scotty did beat Rory. I was kind of really rooting for him. I didn't want him to go 0-for for the Ryder Cup. So I thought that was important. And that was a big point at the time for the United States. I mean, you know, JT had won his point and Cameron Young had won his point and Scheffler beat Rory. So that's that, you know, there was a little light at the end of the tunnel when those guys were pulling those things off. And I was glad to see Justin Thomas hit that putt at 18. I thought that was big for JT.
Bad start, though. He got off to a bad start opening up with Chambaud, wasn't it?
Yeah, and here's the deal. You know, again, you look at Morikawa. Well, Morikawa played very poorly, guys, and he's become a regular in Ryder Cup, and he really was a non-factor. Patrick Cantlay, another guy who plays virtually every Ryder Cup, he didn't perform well. So I think the Americans are at a turning point where you have to, are we going to keep going with the same-o, or over the next 2 years, are we going to have some other players emerge? I think Cameron Young obviously emerged. Scotty's not going anywhere.
Cameron Young can really play.
He was a stud.
He played great. And, you know, I like his personality, too. He gets fired up, but he's not too emotional. I mean, he just goes out there and does his business. I like that.
Yeah, he played with JT. That was a good pairing.
I'd rather have Patrick Reed on that team. I just think he.
Well, Barry, it's funny you say that because at the time I was thinking, God, they need Patrick Reed.
They do. You need a guy like that. Anyway.
Just a son of a gun out there that's not going to take anything from anybody.
And you're telling me that what's his name wasn't really that hurt?
No, I mean, Hovland, you know, he had treatment after Saturday, and then he said he woke up Sunday morning and he said his neck was just stiff.
We should have got a point and a half.
Yeah, but that's a crazy rule that was established in 1979. It's only happened 3 times in the history of the Ryder Cup. It's only happened 3 times where a player has been unable to play on Sunday. Think about that.
The other day we had Jerry Pate on the other day. He did a terrific job on our show.
Yeah, he was good. All right, Doug. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go over your picks from last week. We just don't have time, so we're gonna have to go ahead and get to break. Chase is asleep. Chase. All right, we got it. Do we have time to do Doug's picks? Yeah, I guess we do. All right, Doug, we'll go ahead and do your picks. So, Doug is 5-10-0 going into the week. Ole Miss, LSU, he said take Ole Miss minus the 2.5. Ole Miss won 24-19, so that will be a victory for Doug Bell. There we go.
Yes.
Auburn. He said take Auburn plus the 6.5 against Texas A&M. Score 16-10. That's why you like to have those halves. That will be another victory for Doug.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it, Doug? And then Alabama, he said take Alabama plus the 2.5. They didn't even need the 2.5. They won it outright by 3. So that will be another victory for Doug.
Yes. While we announced it.
But I had a call. We have a listener that sent me a text and said, hey, Barry, I think you need to charge Doug with two losses for his Ryder Cup pick. He's inside the ropes with all the guys all season. He's supposed to know golf. Heck, your pick was better. Congratulations to you, Barry. So thank you for there. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Man, you got a tough crowd. That's a tough crowd, man. I'm telling you.
So, Doug.
Barry, what happened to my pick? What happened to my pick?
You had Kansas minus 4.5. No, you didn't, because Kansas lost. It lost 37-34. Now, it was going to be a half, but Cincinnati scored late, so the blue plate went down, Doug, went down in flames. Well,
that's a rare loss.
I'm 4-3.
Yeah. And Doug's 7-10, and Jason's 1-2. So if you're betting on this show, you're
the only winner.
Yeah. All right, Doug, real quick, where are we going this week?
All right, real quick, let me just mention Mississippi State and Memphis, by the way, are 5-0 against the spread this year, if you're looking for a hot team to bet on. And Georgia, by the way, 0-4 against the spread this season. Just thought I'd throw it out there. If you're betting on the Bulldogs, you're losing. All right, here we go, guys. Clemson at North Carolina. I got Clemson favored by 13.5. Barry, is that what you got?
I got to look. They're not ranked anymore, so that...
I got 13.5.
Clemson, 13.5, yes.
All right, here you go. If you look at the North Carolina depth chart and the starters for the Tar Heels, Bill Belichick, there's not one starter on the North Carolina depth chart that would start at Clemson. I mean, this is a mismatch despite this tough start for Clemson this season.
I agree.
1-3. Clemson blows out North Carolina. Carolina in their two tough games against reputable opponents, they lose 48-14 to TCU. They lose 34-9 at UCF. Come on now. Clemson, this is an easy one, guys. They win by at least 3 touchdowns over North Carolina on Saturday.
You better go ahead and bet that if you're going to bet. That ain't going to stay 13.5. That's going up.
Yeah. All right. That's a good one. All right. Yeah. Meantime, Texas at Florida. Both teams, by the way, 1-3 against the point spread this season. Florida's had a week off. DJ Lagway, the quarterback for Florida, by the way, came out last week. He is 256 pounds, guys. Had a bad leg this summer. Couldn't do conditioning. Last season, amidst a 5-game winning streak, he was 230 pounds. So Lagway is just getting in shape. Texas, their 3 wins. San Jose State, UTEP, Sam Houston State. Those are their 3 wins. I think Florida, after a week off, very good defensive team. Florida's getting 7, guys, at home against Texas. I like it. The Gators getting 7.
How about 6.5? 6.5.
All right. Well, if you want to take me.
You're being like Dad now. I go on the lines on ESPN. You look it up. Look it up when you get off 6.5.
All right.
I mean, we'll give you 7 if you want it, but.
Well, Chase is my buddy. He'll give me 7.
So. Chase, give him 6.5, Chase. He's getting too full of it. For his Ryder Cup pick, he gets 6.5. You get 6.5.
I'll never live that down. All right, lastly, how about it? College game day in Tuscaloosa, Vanderbilt at Alabama. First time since 1937. That's when my dad was still around. Both teams ranked for the first time since 1937. A potential Heisman Trophy preview, guys. Ty Simpson, Diego Pavia, 2 great quarterbacks, right? I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun. And listen, I know all about what happened last year. You guys are going to talk about it ad nauseum all week. You're going to get hundreds of phone calls. You know, it's payback time, revenge, et cetera. And I do think Alabama's going to win this football game. The crowd's going to be all fired up. But let's don't dispel how good Vanderbilt is, guys.
Now, before you pick, the line has already dropped this morning. It was 10.5 earlier. It's 9.5 right now.
Well, see, when I was doing my research, I had 13.5.
No.
So where are we going? 10.5?
It's 9.5 right now.
Oh, it bangs those three, Doug.
I don't know. Screw with y'all.
Coach, I'm feeling it here.
How am I screwing y'all when I just picked the line? I don't know.
So. All right, give me 10. Give me 10. I'll take 10. I feel like I'm dealing with Vinny the Book down the street here. Yeah,
yeah,
or Vinny the Crook, yeah.
Burial screw, yeah. Like, I don't care. You can pick it however you want. If you then take Vandy, whatever. So you're saying take Vandy.
Yes, and the points. And again, Vanderbilt is legit, guys. There's no, you know, let's get past the point that they've had this schedule, that schedule. Vanderbilt,
I tell you what, I'm going to give you 10. You want 13.5. That's... You're not getting that. 10, because it's going to go up. It's 9.5. It'll go up to over 10. So by the time that thing plays. So
again, 3-0 this week, 3-0 next week, guys. You can see the trend, right?
Yeah. So what was his record going in 5-10? So now you're 8-10. I said 7.
8-10. I have a chance to go 11-10 after this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh. And so keep that in mind. And also, guys, I just wanted to mention the Sanderson Farms, the PGA Tour returns this week over in Jackson, Mississippi. Nick Dunlap back out. Big week for him, big fall for him. Lee Hodges, Trey Mullinax, Davis Riley, all the former Crimson Tigers among those in the 144-player field in Jackson, Mississippi this week. I'll be over for that one, the Sanderson Farms.
All right, buddy. Anything else? Thanks. Before you go?
That's it, guys. Again, Ryder Cup over, but let's not forget there's 6 more tournaments this fall on the PGA Tour. And all those guys I just named, Dunlap, Hodges, Mullinax, Riley, Davis is okay for next year, but all those other guys, they need to take care of business this fall. Those Crimson Tigers.
There you go.
As they move forward.
All right, Doug. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you next week. See ya.
All right, let's tell them about Bryant Bank, then we'll get back and we'll have the vinegar tip for the day.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank. Visited with the people yesterday and day before yesterday, and they can do a great job for you. Go by and open up a personal business account, and they will be sure your money is safe and also that you're able to bank online around the clock. So go by Bryant Bank, help them you heard on Inside the Locker Room, and you'll be well pleased with your money.
All right, we'll take the break, get back, have the vinegar tip for this Monday. You listen to Tide 100.9, 12:30 a.m. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still some heavy traffic in the area. Culver Road, an accident affecting both lanes at Joe Malisham. Between Joe Malisham West Parkway and Joe Malisham East. Now, on Lurline Wallace, we're not doing bad at all. That has thinned out quite considerably. And between...
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny, the high 88. For tonight, fair with a low at 65. For tomorrow and Wednesday, the sky partially sunny both days. Highs between 84 and 87 degrees. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
Need to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Then subscribe to our YouTube channel for exclusive content on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I've been good.
To Inside Locker Room, this vinegar tip for this Monday brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Go to coverage for ttown.com. You can get your quote done right there. You can give him a call. We're looking for home, life, auto. He takes great care of us. He'll do the same for you. 205-752-8500. All right, what is the tip for this Monday?
You got them aching joints. I mean, your joints just ache all over. The man can massage the woman, or the woman can massage the man. I don't know which. But those aching joints are absolutely key. Here's what you do. Get you a pencil, piece of paper, and write this down, and you'll be the best ever been. Your aching joints will be gone. Mix two egg whites with a half a cup of vinegar. and a quarter cup of turpentine. Now listen to me. Egg white, vinegar, and turpentine. And a quarter cup of olive oil. Get you some olive oil. Now this is different from everybody else. And you got, everybody's got aching joints. Old people do, young people do. And use that liniment immediately, gently massaging it into your sore muscles or your aching joints. And when you do that, you wipe that off with a soft cloth, and you got no more aching joints. I'm telling you, folks, you better listen to what I tell you. Two white eggs. You ain't listening half the time. Half a cup of vinegar for two white eggs. A quarter cup of turpentine.
What is turpentine?
And a quarter cup of olive oil. Mix that all together. Lay her down. Or if you want to, you lay him down. Put him on his, wherever you want to put him, on his stomach. And go to those aching joints, and they will never be aching again. That's one of the great tips in history. Start off with two white eggs. You got it. I told it. Great.
All right, Chase, you may have to write all that down and text it. I mean,
gave it three times.
Yeah, but anybody will be remember all that? They're driving. They'll get it mixed up. They might use one egg. That. One
you
egg.
Have aching joints then.
All right, that tip's brought to you by Michael McGuire State Farm Insurance. All right, not a lot of games this week in the Blue Plate Special. That did not hit. Cincinnati won 37-34, so you didn't lose it by half a point. You lost it by, 4.5, 37.5. But that's
why. You had
Kansas minus 4.5. Kansas lost 37-34.
Okay, they won by half a point. They lost by half a point.
You had Kansas minus. So you had Kansas winning by 4.5. They lost by 3. Chase, help him. Help him. Help him with his math there. All right.
Get me off his gut.
When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. This Blue Plate Sports Special is brought to you by Brian Harden Construction, your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. Brian Harden Construction, 205-759-1337. What? Do what? What'd you say?
You said woman led?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That's part of their motto, woman led. I've been said that every day for the last month and a half. Family owned, safety driven. Brian's a good dude. David's a good dude. The Harden family is good people. So do some business with those guys. All right, Chase, what are we doing here? Are we doubling these breaks or what are we doing? All right, we'll double these breaks up. Tomorrow we'll have Kevin Skarbinski. We'll Diggle, you got to turn the page, Alabama fans. I know y'all want to celebrate. You got to turn the page. You got to get ready for the next one. All right, the season's not over because you won at Georgia. And so I think that's one of our problems is we got a good chance. We got a really good quarterback. We got good receivers. So we'll see as Vanderbilt comes in. To take on the Crimson Tide game day. So Nick Saban won't have to get on an airplane. He'll be able to drive down to the – wonder where he's going to park, Chase. Anyway, the Gary Harris Show is next, so just keep it locked in here all day long. You listen to Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTVC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.
Inside the Locker Room.